Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. Thanks to my friend, Dr. John Lott, the head of the Crime Prevention Research Center and one of the best known authors when it comes to the Second Amendment and self-defense in America. I know that one of the most dangerous places you can be is in one of those so-called gun-free zones. Now, liberal Democrats in office, whether it's in the Congress, in the legislatures, in cities and counties, they seem to think that gun-free zones make people safer. They do not, in fact, make people safer. So it's always seemed strange to me. Over the years, going all the way back to, say, the Fort Hood, Texas attack that was carried out by a Muslim jihadi who happened to be a member of our military and had sent plenty of warning signs, it seems strange to people that when we have a major military base, that most of the people on that base are not allowed to carry guns, even though they are specifically trained in both carrying guns and using guns for their own defense or the defense of their country. So Dr. John Lott has written about this recently, and he joins me now. Dr. Lott, welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me on.
John is an economist and a world-recognized expert on guns and crime. So Secretary Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of War, has signed a memo allowing U.S. service members to request permission to carry personal firearms on military bases for self-defense. Why is that so noteworthy?
Yeah, well, my guess is most people kind of assume that soldiers would be able to go and carry guns on military bases. It's actually the overwhelming vast majority of them have been forbidden from doing it. It's pretty much been just the military police. And for those who haven't been on a military base before, it's pretty much just like any city. The likelihood that you're going to have the MPs there when a crime's occurring is about as likely as having the police in a city like Portland or in, you know, Chicago or anyplace else be on the scene exactly when a crime is occurring there. Police themselves understand they virtually always arrive on the crime scene after the crimes occur. And we've had so many of these terrorist types of attacks on military bases in the United States. You had the Holloman Air Force Base attack earlier this year, the Fort Stewart attack in Georgia last year, the Pensacola Naval Air Station attack a few years ago, the Chattanooga attack, the two Fort Hood shootings, and the Navy Yard shooting. And the thing is, people may not realize this, but the rules have been different for soldiers being able to go and carry a gun with them when they're on bases outside of the United States versus inside the United States. I had a son who was actually present on base for the second Fort Hood shooting. He was an expert marksman, but he was disarmed, as was virtually everybody else. He was about a block away from the attack when it occurred and could merely watch people run from the attack. But when he was stationed in Afghanistan, he was mandated to have his weapon with him at virtually all times. If he went to the restroom, he had to have it with him. If he went to the mess, he had to have it with him. If he slept, he had to have it next to him. If he went to work out at the gym, it had to be next to him. If he was at his desk because he did military intelligence, he had to have his weapon with him. And yet somehow, even though he was trusted with his weapon at all those times when he was stationed abroad, when he came back to the United States and was back at Fort Hood, he was banned from being able to go and have a weapon. And as you and I have talked about many times, you know, this isn't rocket science. These killers, these terrorists, go and explicitly say in their diaries and manifestos that they're picking targets that are gun-free zones. Their goal is to go and get media attention, and they know the more people they kill, the more media attention they're going to be able to go and get. And they know if they go to places where their victims are defenseless, they're going to be able to go and kill more people and get more media attention. And that when you pass laws or rules that ban guns in certain places, so if you're in the military and you carry a gun on a base, or had up until last week carried a gun on a base, well, what happened is that at the very least, you'd be dishonorably discharged and you'd very likely end up in prison for a number of years. Yep. Well, you know, that's a real deterrent for a good soldier to go and carry a gun. But for somebody who's going to be killing lots of people, You know, if they're going to kill five or six people, even assuming that they live, the problem that you face is that, you know, taking 5 years in prison from their sixth or their seventh life doesn't represent a penalty to them, because most likely they're going to die at the scene. And if they live, nobody's going to live till their fifth life. And so the problem you create unintentionally, maybe, is that it's the law-abiding good citizens who are disarmed, not the criminals, and the criminals take advantage of that.
Hey, John, do you think there's any chance? It's one of the things I've wished about a lot of the executive orders from the president, and that is that the Congress would take them up and then put them into federal law. In this case, it's a memo signed by the defense secretary, which means, I assume, that if at some point we have a Democrat as president, like President Otto Penn, you know, Joe Biden, that he's going to have a defense secretary who'll just reverse it. Is there a way for Congress to lock this into the law?
Oh, sure. Congress could pass it, but there's no way in the galaxy you're going to get enough Democrats in the Senate to support this.
John, the only thing I'd push back on that, pass it through the House, take it to the Senate, and tell the Democrats, we're going to have a vote on this, and we want to vote, and you're free to vote against having American service members allowed to carry a gun. And watch how many Democrats start to really waffle, because they're going to say, you want me to vote against that? That's going to sound stupid to my constituents, even for Democrat constituents, isn't it?
For two decades, they tried to get a bill through Congress that would allow police officers who had at least 10 years of experience to go and carry their handguns with them when they traveled across the country.
Yep.
For 20 years, it was filibustered by the Democrats. It was only after 9/11 that they were able to get it through. You know, here you have an officer with at least 10 years of experience who wants to, for free, protect people when they're going around the country there.
Yep.
And the Democrats said that that was endangering public safety.
That's Dr. John Lott. He serves as the head of the Crime Prevention Research Center. I serve on the board of directors. It's an uncompensated position, so I'd tell you that. John's written some great books, including More Guns, Less Crime. And Dr. Lott, it's always a pleasure.